Amen. Amen. Hey, have a seat, please. I want to encourage you with this, and that is God is definitely on the move, and that is our identity. We are children of the King. And, you know, in children, what we need is we need each other. We really do need each other. My 8-year-old son, he loves playing with neighborhood kids. I mean, watching them play yesterday was just amazing. It just reminded me of us, no matter what age we're at, whether we're just children or whether we're not, you know, chronologically challenged, however you want to put it, all right? We all need community. And so I want to encourage you once again to make sure that you dive into that community. We have life groups. Our life group is outside in the atrium. They would love to talk to you about those opportunities to plug into community. We're not meant to walk this world alone. And so I want to encourage you with that. Take that step. You can look online and go to the website as well. So make sure you see us afterward. You know, right now we're in our It Is Written series, and I tell you what, the Word of God is just moving, and I love the questions. About every other day, somebody sends me a question. Hey, I'm reading this. What does this mean? I just want you to know it just does my heart good knowing that you're in the Word of God on a daily basis. And so what we're doing right now is we're reading through God's Word, and if you haven't joined us with this in this journey, it's not too late. Just go ahead and grab one of the Bibles at the Welcome Center, and you can pick up right where we're at right here on September 12th, and just kind of end strong with us throughout the rest of the year, all right? And so join us, and if you've kind of missed some days or some months or whatever, just pick up right now, and let's just continue the journey together in 2021. And so right now we find ourselves in an amazing passage in Scripture, and we talked about Daniel last week. Daniel was a young man who was exiled off from Judah to Babylon because of Judah's sins. Daniel got swept up in those consequences. It wasn't his sin, it was the nation's sin. And so he gets swept up in that, sent off to Babylon. He and his friends, though, they show us how to live in a secular world as people of God with conviction. You know, things are shifting and things are changing. And it's like, how in the world do I stay strong in the times that I'm in? And I believe that Daniel gives us a warning, but he also gives us encouragement today. And I just want to encourage you with this, and that is, I love being a cheerleader. Like, I want to be a rah-rah guy. Like, when I was in high school, they gave me the Spirit Award. You know what that means? It means I had the most spirit of anybody else in the school. You know, I couldn't really offer much else, but I could offer spirit, all right? That's my thing. I love being a spirit guy. Just rah-rah. But sometimes we need a coach, right? I mean, the cheerleaders are not going to really tell you what play to run, right? They're not going to give you constructive criticism. You could be down, you know, 28 points, and they're still going, go team, go. You know, they're still the same thing. It doesn't matter if you're ahead or behind, it's the same thing. You need a coach, and Daniel is going to be our coach today. And actually, through Daniel, it's interesting, we find out the greatest sin of all is not what we tend to think. Like, we tend to think these big sins, we rate these sins, you can rate them however you want. We tend to think, like, you know, sexual sin or murder. Those are the big sins. But I would say the biggest sin of all is at the root of all sin, and that's pride. I don't care what sin you're involved in, but at the root of that sin is pride. Pride is our biggest enemy. And so we're going to look at a guy who really struggled with pride in his life, and his name is Nebuchadnezzar. He converted and actually followed the God of Daniel, the God we worship. And in fact, this story begins at the end, all right? So we're going to hear from the most unlikely person that could ever actually have a chapter in the Bible. We're going to hear from Nebuchadnezzar himself. Look what happens right here in Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar, this is him talking, to the nations and peoples of every language who live in all the earth, he says this to you, may you prosper greatly. That prosper right there, he's talking about a contentment of a soul. He's talking about a peace that happens in the soul. He says in verse 2, it's my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. Now, Nebuchadnezzar right here is praising God, and that right there should blow your mind, all right? He's praising God. Here's what he says. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. This is Nebuchadnezzar praising God, and he's saying, this God is not just the God of this generation. This God is the God of all generations. And this is a prophetic book, which means he's going to be speaking into our day right here, right now, 2021 in America, because I would tell you this, we are living what I call end time insanity. We live in end time insanity. King Nebuchadnezzar was incredibly arrogant. He would not bow down to God. He would not worship Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty. And so therefore he had a dream. He had a dream, and in the dream, God warned him that if he does not worship God, he will go insane. You know, I looked up the word insanity. You know what it means? It means deranged thinking. It means have a turmoil in the soul, in your soul. It means that your thinking is off. Now think about it. I think we live in end time insanity. Our thinking is way off. It gets us away from God and what he actually said. And because we're away from God and what he actually said in his word, we live in a chaos on planet Earth right now. So listen, everyone, our Earth is groaning. That's what Paul says in Romans 8. We see it on the news every day. I mean, you just look on the news and you just see a lot of pain and the madness of our culture and the madness of our society. And where does that madness, where does that turmoil, where does that insanity come from? I'm telling you, it comes from a deranged thinking that is rooted in pride that will always lead to insanity. And I want you to hear me today. God's desire for each and every single one of you, if you're in the room, if you're online, his desire for each and every single one of you is this, and that you have a peace in your soul. That's what he wants for you. And so this is a prophetic coaching message from Daniel. And so I want to give you 3 points that jump into as we live into this insane time and insane thinking. And this story gets in my face a little bit, all right? And so I think as we're telling the story, maybe it'll trigger inside of you where pride is at. Because it triggered inside of me some areas where I'm prideful. And I'm hoping the same thing happens to you. Because a lot of times we flirt with pride more than we realize. Daniel chapter 4 says this in verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace. Look at this. Contented and prosperous. That word contented there basically is a word where he's saying, you know what, I don't need God. He's pushed God out. That, you know what's interesting about generations is very, very few generations have experienced prosperity, and when they've experienced prosperity, handled prosperity well. Very, very few generations are able to handle it well. And so here he is saying, God, we'll call you later. And we do the same thing, man. We retreat from relationship with God, and then we do every now and then, I call them fire alarm prayers. You know, there's fire alarms, I can see them in the room, fire alarm prayers. You know what those are? Those are when I'm really in need, and I push it, and I go, God, where are you? Where are you, God? I'm in need. And God's like, I'm right where you left me a year ago. I haven't moved. You're the one that's moved. I'm right here. Here's a question. Can we be prosperous and yet stay close to God? Can we be prosperous and yet stay close to God? If we don't, the same thing that happened to Nebuchadnezzar is going to happen to us. Look what happened. Here's the thing you need to know about insane thinking. Insanity is this, and that is it's insane to be self-sufficient rather than God-dependent. That's insanity. To be self-sufficient rather than God-dependent. I'll confess, sometimes I'm not always God-dependent. And some of you right now are going, I'm God-dependent. I'm here right now at church. I mean, obviously I'm God-dependent. Why would I not be here right now? And I'm thinking to myself, man, there's times in my life where I'm not God-dependent. And I can see where it shows up. And maybe it shows up the same place in your life. And here's where it shows up a lot in my life at times. It's called prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. Isn't it interesting we pray a lot more when we're in trouble? And we pray a lot less when things are going okay. Have you noticed that? Isn't it interesting that when chaos is going on, man, the church is packed out in the culture, but then when things are going okay in culture, churches start declining? Let me take you back to 9/11. It was a Tuesday, remember? It was a Tuesday. Guess what happened in the churches on that following Sunday? Guess what happened? Packed out. Churches were packed out. Because our world was in chaos. And so here's the warning for you. Can you stay God dependent and still have everything go okay in your life? Can that happen? How do we stay God dependent? I would say we got to use prayer. We can't just use fire alarm prayer all the time. When things go well, we say, God, I want to thank you right now for how things are going in my life. God, I want to declare right now, I got a dependency on you. Things are going well because of you, God, not because of me. I declare right now, God, you're everything to me. And I want you to think about the atheism that's in prayerlessness, that basically says, you know what, God, I don't need you right now. You push God out, I'll call you later. I don't need you. And one thing that's been really crucial here at RCC is prayer. I mean, you're not in where you're at. You're not online. You're not on your chair if it wasn't for prayer. Prayer is the backbone of RCC. It really is. In fact, we have a prayer team. If you're interested in joining that, you can go to riverchristian.church/ministries and see all the ministries we have there. But one of them is a prayer team, and we would love for you to join that prayer team. But our prayer is the backbone. This church is built on prayer. And here's the thing. I know who I am, and I know who I'm not. And I'm a simple person. I'm not the most educated guy in the world. I was a BC student, all right? I was a BC student. I worked hard for my C's. Any C people in the room? Who's a C person? Join me, all right? Loud and proud, baby. Loud and proud. All right, let me tell you right now about us C people. We're not too fond of you A people. You kind of mess up the curve for us, you know what I'm saying? Like, take a break every now and then. Like, help out a brother. I got kids that are A people. They drive me nuts. I'm like, they're like their mama, man. Those people drive me nuts. My roots come from Alabama, all right? We're not the highest on the spectrum when it comes to, you know, education level in the union. You know what I'm saying? But praise God for Arkansas, everybody. Praise God for Arkansas. Good job, Razorback fans. Y'all won last night. Good job. All right, anyway, you're a C student. I'm a C student. And I know that this church is not built on me. If you know me as well as I know me, and some of you do, you go, man, how's this church growing? You know, it ain't by Nathan. It's by a mighty God. Amen. It's by a mighty God. We have to constantly stay on our knees in prayer here at RCC. And I'm telling you, we need to turn back to a God dependence instead of a self-sufficiency. And so Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. In his dream, he dreams of this huge, massive tree. And the tree covers the entire area of Babylon. And in that tree, there's birds, and there's life, and there's flourishing, and there's blessing that pours out into the nation from that tree. But in the dream, all of a sudden, the big, massive tree is knocked over, and there's just a stump left. And Nebuchadnezzar wakes up, and he's hoping that the dream is about his enemies, right? He's hoping that it's talking about his enemies. And so he goes to his wise men, and he asks them, what does this dream mean? And they won't say anything. Some say they couldn't say anything. They didn't know. But other ones believe, scholars believe, they didn't want to say anything because they knew exactly what that dream meant. He goes to Daniel. Daniel, who's interpreted a dream for him before, he says, Daniel, what's this mean? What's this dream mean? And Daniel shoots out of the gate. He goes right to it. Look what he says. Your Majesty, you are that tree. Whoa. That right there, by the way, could have gotten Daniel killed. That took a lot of guts for him to say to the most powerful man on the planet, you are that tree that's going to get knocked down. And Nebuchadnezzar is not a follower of God at this point. And so look what happens. He says this, you have become great king and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant places on the earth. Your Majesty, you saw a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump. I love that about God, by the way. I love the fact that God just, he doesn't just totally cut us off. God always leaves us with the ability to turn back to him. Amen. He always leaves you with the ability to turn back to him. There's always consequences for what we do. And some of us finally wake up, as the prodigal son story says, we come to our senses. But God leaves enough, though. He wants you to come back. He leaves a stump. Look what happened. Bound with iron and bronze and the grass of the field while its roots remain in the ground. Let him, he's talking about a him, be Nebuchadnezzar, be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the wild animals. There's that insanity. There's that turmoil of the soul going on until seven times pass for him. This interpretation, Your Majesty, this is a decree the Most High has issued against the Lord, the King. You, King, will be driven away from people and live with wild animals and will eat, you will eat grass like the ox. It's like, wow. And be drenched with the dew of heaven. Literally, King, you're going to lose your marbles. You're going to go insane. Seven times, which means 7 years, will pass by for you until what, church? Until what? You acknowledge, King. Until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. Here's the problem, King, is you take all the credit for yourself. You think it's all about you. You admire your own work. And at times, if we're honest, we do the same thing, don't we? Look at the organization I built. Look at how well I did over here. Look at my car. Look at my family. Look at the house I live in. Have you seen that? Have you checked this out? Have you seen this? And God says, I don't mind you being successful, but you cannot acknowledge that it came from you. That's insane. And so here's a thought on insanity, and here's what leads you to insanity. When we give ourselves the credit instead of thanking God, that's insane. When you give yourself the credit, literally the right way for you and I to live, to avoid the turmoil of the soul, all right, I am urging you to thank God for everything. We see in Scripture the question people ask, especially in America, what's God's will for me? What's God's will for me? What's God's will for me? And Scripture tells us that God's will for you is to give thanks for everything. Give thanks for everything, for this is God's will for you. And I'm encouraging you when it rains, you say, praise God for the rain. I'm encouraging you when it's sunny outside, thank God for the sun. I'm encouraging you when things go well and it's smooth sailing in your life, thank God for the smooth sailing, God. It's for you that this is happening. I'm depending on you. But when things are going not so well in your life, I'm encouraging you to say, you know what, God? I'm going to learn some important lessons that thank you for the trial. I consider it pure joy in everything. And some of you right now are going, Nathan, you're crazy. And I would say, no, this world's crazy. This culture is crazy. It's insane to think, look what I've accomplished. Look what I built. And some of you right now are going, Nathan, you don't understand. You don't understand all the many, many years of schooling I went to for this. You don't understand all the long hours, all the sacrifice I had to do for this. You have no idea how much harder I worked than everybody else. And I say, no, you would not have been able to do that if God hadn't given you a brain. You wouldn't be able to do all that you've done if God had not put breath in your lungs so you could have life. And I'm very serious. If you want to avoid a Nebuchadnezzar type of insanity, I'm telling you, we're experiencing it right now in the world because we become so arrogant. We become so prideful. And the only reason I have what I have is because of God. And so if you don't want to be insane, if you don't want to have turmoil in the soul, you have to operate like this. You have to have an attitude of gratitude all the time. If you don't have an attitude of gratitude, you will go nuts. I had a person tell me recently, she's going through a really hard time, and she just said in the middle of the conversation, she says, you know what, I just want to thank God for life, and I want to thank God for RCC for praying for me. And I looked at her and I said, are you serious? You're going through this, and you want to praise God? You want to thank God for this right now? She said, yeah. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have this life. I wouldn't be able to breathe right now. He's given me a gift. Even though there's a lot of difficult situations in my life, I just want to thank God for the life I have. And I'll tell you right now that that person who told me that has a lot less insanity going on in their lives because she gets it, because she understands it's an attitude of gratitude that we need every day of our lives. I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I love this. Here's what Paul says. What are you so puffed up about? Like, I needed this when I was 20 years old, by the way. What are you so puffed up about? What do you have that God hasn't given you, Freeman? And if all you have is from God, why act as though you've accomplished something on your own? I love that because when you're generous, you get this. Like, generosity flows out of this understanding that everything I have is not really mine. Like this shirt right here, by the way, you enjoy the teal, Jaguar teal RCC shirt. You see this right now, all right? All right. Anyway, this shirt right now, not 10% of it is God's. The whole thing's God's. Like when you write a check and that pen you use, oh yeah, that's God's. Everything in your bank account, everything that's going to be in your bank account, everything that has been, that's God's, by the way, too. And so the proper language is, I'm not giving, I'm actually returning. I'm returning the tithe. I'm returning the offering to God, because guess what? It's his anyway. Like, how do you give someone something that's already theirs? That doesn't make any sense. Like me going out to outside and going to your car and going, hey, I want to give you this car. You're like, that's my car. How can you give me my car? All right? You're returning it back. We understand this. When you walk in humility, you understand this, that generosity flows. The attitude of gratitude will bring the prosperity of the soul that the world cannot give. Daniel chapter 4, a third point of the sanity leads us to this. Let me keep reading. The command to leave the stump, Daniel says, of the tree with its roots means that you, your kingdom king, will be restored to you when, that's a crucial word, when you acknowledge that what, church? When you acknowledge, king, that heaven rules. When you acknowledge that heaven rules, that's the third thing. The first thing is, when you're self-sufficient instead of God-dependent, that's insane. The second thing is, when you think you're all that, you accomplished all that, when God really did, that's insane. But the third point is very crucial, and Daniel's saying this. Here's your final problem, Neb. You think you rule, but the truth is, heaven rules. And I'm going to tell you that there's an arrogance. There's an arrogance in our society, and we think we know more than God. And so we debate things. We debate things that are sound biblical teaching. We debate things like, you know, drugs. We debate things like sexuality. We debate things like marriage and how marriage is defined. And we start thinking, you know, I know better than God. In fact, I heard on my way to church today, you know that you can actually marry yourself. Really, you can. Like, you can marry yourself. That's how insane things are getting. And we're like, you know what? I know what the Bible says, but that was a long time ago. That was a long time ago. We progressed. You know, that was written, the Bible's written in archaic society, and it's totally outdated. We know better. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a warning from Daniel. You will end up like a stump if you think you know more than what God knows. And the further we get away from God's word, the more insanity we're going to experience in this generation. Amen? It's just getting more insane. I'm going to tell you right now, the earth is groaning. There's chaos in the streets because we're a generation that, by and large, rejected God's word, rejected God's standard. And the closer we get back to God, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be peace that comes again. And some of you are going, well, can you prove that, Pastor? Look what the word says. The word tells us this. If my people, God says, will call upon my name, they'll humble themselves and pray. That's point one. And pray and seek my face, point two. And then turn from their wicked ways, point three. Then, he says, then I will heal. I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins. The stump will grow again and I will heal their land. And we all know that our country needs more healing. Amen. We need more healing. You know what sin is? Sin is basically saying to God, I don't need you. I got this figured out. I don't need you. You know what? I'll call you later when I need you. You just sit on the sidelines. And I'm calling us back to God's word again. I'm calling us to go running to God's arms. So write this down right here. Third point of insane thinking is this. We see it in our lives. When we think we know best, instead of acknowledging that heaven rules. When we think we know best. You know, let me take you back to Isaiah. Isaiah says this in his scriptures. He says these amazing words. He says, this is the one I esteem. This is the one I esteem. Now, right now, I want you to know something. In this room, I know there's a lot of smart people in this room. Online, a lot of smart people. So I'm going to ask you a question, all right? Here we go. How many of you want to be uplifted, want to be esteemed by God? Raise your hand if you want to be esteemed by God, all right? All right, a lot of smart people. Some got some waking up or something. I don't know. But we all should be want to be esteemed by God. Well, how do you do that? Look what happens. He who is humble... You want to be esteemed by God? He who is contrite in spirit and who trembles at my word. It's saying this, I don't know what's best, but God does. I don't have to understand. I'm just called to obey. We have to come to a point, realize that God's ways are higher than our ways, and we follow him because God knows best. Amen, church? God knows best. And so how do we get sanity restored? Look what happens next. Look what happens. Therefore, your majesty, Daniel says, be pleased to accept my advice. Same thing I'm asking for all of us. I'm asking for our country, the whole world. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity of the soul, that peace inside, will continue. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, so we're going to push the fast forward button, all right? 12 months later, look what happens. He didn't listen. As the Lord was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he sees all that he's done. He says this. Is not this the great Babylon? Notice the personal pronouns here. I have built as a royal palace of Babylon. He said, is this not the great Babylon? I have built royal residence for my mighty power and for the glory of what? My majesty. And even, look at this, even as the words were on his lips, a voice came down from heaven. This is what the voice said to the king. This is what I decreed to you, for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You'll be driven away from people. You will live with the wild animals. You'll eat grass like the ox. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. And look at this. Immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people. He ate grass. This is the king we're talking about. He ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claw of a bird. He literally went insane. And at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, all right, he's a little smarter. At the end of that time, in that 7 years, this warning is here so that you don't have to have dew on your head, so you don't have to have nails growing out like a bird. Now, if you want some feathers, don't pay attention to this, okay? Here's what it says. I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. And I then praise the Most High God, church. God is always willing in a moment. In a moment to forgive you and restore you. Amen. He's always willing in a moment to forgive you and restore you. Psalm 51 says, a broken and contrite spirit, God will never despise. You can mess up and mess up and mess up again. And the moment you turn your face and say, God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I'm telling you, immediately you're forgiven. You are forgiven because he's a good God, everybody. Amen. You're immediately forgiven. And then Neb said these words, I honored and glorified him who lives forever. Nebuchadnezzar saved. He says his dominion is an eternal dominion. His is not about me anymore. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth regard as nothing he does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand and say to him, what have you done? At the same time that my sanity was restored, here's what Neb says, my honor and my splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, Neb is saying something to you today. You guys online, he's saying something to me today. Here's what he's saying to you and me. Praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in what? Those who walk in pride, he is able to what, church? He is able to humble. So I want you to write down three things. If you want to leave insanity and step into peace, if you want to leave turmoil and step into a contentment of the soul, here's what you need to do. Number one is this. You need to exalt the King of Heaven. I know I get a little hyper sometimes up here. Sometimes I get a little emotional. You know why I do that? Because I believe God deserves it. I believe God deserves it. Sometimes we don't want to be emotional when it comes to God. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really quite get that when I think about it for a couple reasons. Because when you're really into something, you kind of get passionate. You kind of do. Some people go, I don't like being like that. It's not really my style. I'm not really a feeling person or whatever. And I'm telling you right now, I don't get that, because the Bible says that when it says, lift your hands up in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. I mean, if God tells us to touch our nose and stand on one foot and bless the Lord, we do it. Why? Because He's God. And the scripture tells us, clap your hands, all you people. Shout a voice of triumph. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen, church? And so we have to praise the Lord. That's what the Bible tells us. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen when you get lost and exalting the King of Heaven? You know what's going to happen? Your sanity gets restored. Because you realize it's not about you. It's all about Him. You get lost in Him. And you find yourself when you get lost in the Lord. Your sanity gets restored. That's what's going to happen. That's why we praise God. Because He's worthy of our praise. I talked to someone last week and they said, man, I went to that game in Tallahassee. I couldn't hear myself. It was so loud. I couldn't hear myself think, is what they were saying. I thought to myself, you know what? A day is coming. A day is coming. When we get together as people of God, and it's louder here than it is in Gainesville, Florida, and Tallahassee, Florida. Because we're just going to let loose and shout praise to the Lord. Number two is this. You want to leave insanity and step into sanity? Here's what you need to do. Acknowledge that God does everything right and all His ways are just. Stop trying to adapt God to culture. Stop it. Stop trying to modify His word. Well, that doesn't make sense. God didn't ask you if it made sense. He asked you to obey. And I'm telling you right now, every time I obey God, even though it didn't make sense in this little brain, I've always had a peace that's come with it. There's always been a peace. And it's always been hard. One thing I love about my dad, he told me one time, if it's a hard thing, it's usually the right thing. And the Bible always points me towards a hard path, but that's the right path. And then when I do that, there's a peace. I leave the turmoil aside and I step into peace. His ways have always worked. And my prayer is that you will accept His word as your final authority. And I'm telling you, sanity will be restored and peace will come back in your life in big ways. And as a nation, if we turn back to our Judeo-Christian values and we turn back and we preach the Ten Commandments and use them as patterns of our lives, I'm telling you, sanity will come back to America too. We've got to acknowledge that God does everything right and His ways are just. And the last one I'm going to tell you is a simple one, but a very profound, powerful step. And here it is. You want to leave insane thinking and step into peace? Here it is. Walk in humility. Walk in humility. Yes, Nathan, what's humility? Does that mean like I put myself down? Is that what that means? No. You're a child of God. You're made in the image of God. God sent His son Jesus to die for you. But here's what humility is. Humility is not thinking less of myself. It's thinking of myself less, right? It's not thinking less of myself. It's thinking of myself less. We should walk with courage. We should walk with conviction like Daniel. But we should walk with humility and not be arrogant. And let me tell you right now, family, you do this and you'll be blessed. You do these steps, you will be blessed. As we close out, I want to share with you an amazing verse. It's from the brother of Jesus. And I want you to hear what he says. Here's what he says. He says, humble yourselves before the Lord. Humble yourselves before God. And let me tell you right now, let me submit to you today, it's a lot easier to humble yourself than it is for God to humble you, because one day we're all going to be humbled. And I hope you choose it rather than be forced to be humbled. And I want to tell you that this message confronted me on so many fronts. And the more we just humble ourselves, check it out. The more we humble ourselves, guess what happens? Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will what, church? And He will lift you up. I want to encourage you right now, before you start thinking about what's going on next, I want to encourage you right now just to engage with me. And let me ask you a question. Is there insanity going on right now in your life? Have you stepped outside of God's protection because of pride? Saying, God, we don't need you. I got this. I'll call you if I need you. Are you operating like that in your life? Maybe knowingly, maybe unknowingly. We just got in bad habits. You've removed yourself from God. Right now, you need to admit, you know what? I got insanity going on in my life because I have stepped out of the peace of God, stepped out of his authority. I'm doing things my way. You know why I don't really get nervous by the world and what they do? I see a lot of Christians do, but I just don't, because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I mean, the world has always been insane, and generations after generations, a lot of times I have to learn the hard way with that. And so even though you get some insanity going on, I want you to know this, the Lord wants to restore you. His goal for you is that you have a peace in your lives. That's what he wants for you in your soul. He wants a prosperity in your soul. And you ask, well, how does that happen? How do I get that back in my life? Well, you renounce your sins. You ask for forgiveness. And in a second, God will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Just like that. You put him in the rightful place. You put him as Lord of your life, saying, God, you call the shots right now in my life, and may you'll be restored. Right now, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. And maybe it's the first time you're receiving restoration. Or maybe right now you're realizing, I need this prayer because I've stepped out of his authority, of his protection, of his blessing. And now it's time for me to return back to him. Maybe that's you. So I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to pray to God. So I want to encourage you right now. Why don't you close your eyes and bow your head? I'm going to ask you a question. You guys online too, I'm going to ask you a question. Here it is. How many right now, raise your hand if you want to receive God's protection in your life. Raise your hand right now if you want to step out of insanity into sane thinking and peace right now. All right, let me pray over you right now. Put your hands down. Let me pray. And if that's you, if you put your hand up, I want to encourage you right now to say this prayer with me. God, I acknowledge that you rule, and today I'm willing to place my life under you. All your ways, God, are just. All your ways are right. Thank you for sending Jesus to pay my mistakes. Today I renounce my sins. Come live inside of me. Make me a brand new person, Lord. And I want to live for you with everything I've got. Thank you for changing my life. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name.